Welcome to Partnered in Purpose.
In all situations, you have to put your marriage and your family first.
Learn firsthand from power couples who've built healthy relationships and successful businesses.
The choices that you make every day don't just affect you, they affect everyone around you.
Utilize proven techniques and strategies to help your relationship thrive in business and marriage.
It's never going to be backwards when you're with the right person.
This is Partnered in Purpose with Ryan and Alicia Gilliam.
Hey family, welcome back to another episode of Partnered in Purpose, where we help entrepreneurial couples thrive in love and business. My name's Ryan.
And I'm Alicia. Welcome back to the podcast. And today we're going to be talking about maintaining connection with your spouse.
You want to keep connection with me, don't you?
What? You see?
Y'all.
I do, but...
Look, I took a picture today for social media.
Oh, boy.
I'm telling you, like, she looked at that picture and was like, that's my man.
You didn't even let me get my whole intro in. You just went right in with the jokes today.
You think that I ain't give you more dad jokes?
You gotta give me a dad joke.
You want a dad joke?
Sure, go ahead.
I can seriously just give a bunch of dad jokes.
Not a bunch. I said give me a dad joke.
No, I don't know what to say. You've never asked for one before, so.
Gotta stay ready. So, as I was saying, today we're talking about maintaining connection with your spouse, which is a very important thing because we know as married couples, there's always distraction. You know, then when you add kids to the equation, it becomes even more difficult to maintain that connection. And then on top of that, if you're also entrepreneurs, maintaining connection can even be more difficult.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. I think we all have difficulty in this area. The longer we've been together, sometimes it's not about how long you've been together, but just being intentional about staying in love, mm-hmm. staying, you know, connected to the one that you decide you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And definitely think it's a good topic for today. Show, Alicia, what is your one word check-in?
My one word for today is excited.
You're excited, girl.
Yeah, we...
Go ahead. I was about to make a dad joke about your excitement.
Gosh. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Alicia. What are you excited about?
I'm excited because we just wrapped day one of the X18 challenge. And God really moved today. It went well. And I think some people... I know people got what they needed to hear from God, and I'm just excited about the next few days that are ahead.
Y'all missing out. If you're not in the X18 challenge, you're missing out, and not even because of us. You're missing out in the community of like-minded business owners that are in there just like learning and growing and developing together.
Right.
I've seen just a tremendous amount of people just sitting back going, oh, you do that business? Oh, mm-hmm. you guys got that going on? What city you guys are in? Mm-hmm. So a great community of people that I'm excited to be a part of. My one word check in for the day is I'm gonna keep 100. I'm sleepy right now.
You're on a high and then
I was like, dude, I was like so high. I was bouncing off the walls. Mm-hmm. I was like full of energy and then I stopped and I just crashed.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm sleepy right now, but I wake up. I'm sitting next to a pretty young thing, so you keep me awake.
Okay.
So today on the Better Together segment, we want to talk about growth. And I think it's really appropriate if we would use a quote from John Maxwell that says, your growth determines who you are. Your growth determines who you attract. And who you attract determines your success in your business. I think we cannot just say business there, but we can also say ministry. Growth is an extremely important thing in every area of our life. No matter if we're talking about, you know, our careers or in our marriages, we all need growth. The difficult part is we always don't want to participate in the growth process. See, growth comes through adversity. Growth comes through leaving our comfort zone. Growth comes from being stretched, being pulled, being pushed into a place that it doesn't always feel comfortable to be in. Growth is about leaving where you are and going to where you want to be. And it requires us getting out of doing things the way we've always done them. Sometimes Growth requires learning and development. Growth requires guidance. Sometimes growth requires change. And change can be scary because we're fearful of the future. We're fearful of what might be behind that door. And we don't always want to walk through it. But growth is required in our walk with God. Growth is required in our marriages. Growth is definitely required in our businesses. So this week, family, we want to challenge you to grow. We want to challenge you to look for growth in different areas of your life. Look for opportunities where you can go from where you are to where God would have you to be and not be afraid of the process and the journey that lies ahead. So today, family, let's live, love, and grow better together.
Yes, great job, baby. Don't be afraid of the process. I like that. So often we miss out on opportunities for growth because we're afraid to step out. You know, even when good change is upon us, that's still scary for some people. You know, change creates anxiety. Change is difficult at times, but growth is impossible without it. So I think that's important.
Yeah. And since we're talking about growth, a big part of maintaining the connection in a relationship, or like just forget a relationship, me and you, mm-hmm. is about being able to grow as a husband, mm-hmm. being able to grow as a friend, being able to grow as a partner with you as a business partner. And that requires some stuff that's not always cool. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I won't say it's not cool. It just doesn't feel good all the time. Like, mm-hmm. like growing and developing as your friend and being able to listen to you
right.
in areas that I'm always interested in mm-hmm. the information you're talking about.
Yeah.
And growing and developing as your business partner and learning new stuff mm-hmm. and developing in our business and our industry. Like when we were launching the podcast, my growth was around, Ryan, you got to figure out the technology.
Right.
And so like growth in relationships require, you know, different things at different times. But I think maintaining that connection is easier when you have a growth mindset and you don't think of it as a chore, but you embrace the opportunity.
Yeah. And you guys are seeking to grow together. You know, you're seeking to go from one level to the next, you know, from whether it's growing in your business or in your connection. You know, you don't want to stay at the same level. You know, there should be some change. You know, mm-hmm. you should see a husband and wife, you know, their first year of marriage, they should look a little bit different 10 years from now. You yeah. know, a lot of times people say, you know, oh, you changed. Well, I hope I did. You know, thank you for noticing the change. You know what I mean? Because why would I want to stay the same? You know, 10 years, 15 years, the same, and I'm not elevating, I'm not getting better, we're not growing in our connection, you know, because people evolve.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the same person you married 13 years ago. You're not the same person. And so as I evolve, I hope, you know, we're evolving together so that we can continue to maintain that connection over time.
I think growth is important because I don't think if you're not growing, I feel like you're going behind. I don't ever think people stay the same. Mm-hmm. I'm not aware of any area in life where people really just, you know, stay stagnant. I think people either are growing closer to God or mm-hmm. growing closer together mm-hmm. or learning in their business and developing, or I think they're getting worse because growing apart, right? Because see, look, no one's think of it from this standpoint. If we're like in business, and I know my mind's always thinking about business, but our competitors are developing and growing each day. Mm-hmm. If we're not on the same track, if the goal is down the street, they're getting closer to the goal and we're getting further away from it because we're not moving at the same pace they are. Mm-hmm. So in our marriages, if one partner's growing and you're not growing, mm-hmm. you're growing apart. Mm-hmm. And I think we've all seen that from television shows, the movies, so our friends and family in our churches, mm-hmm. well, one partner or, you know, they naturally over time, if both folks don't have the same mindset and mentality about growing, the connection is really hard to maintain.
Yeah. So one way to maintain that connection, you know, as you develop and grow in your relationship is to get to know your partner again. You know, take inventory of who they are today, not necessarily who they were 10 years ago. So get to reacquaint yourself with your spouse. Get to know who they are today, what they need today, not what they needed 10 years ago or 5 years ago, but who they are today. So as we evolve, we need to spend time getting to know each other in that stage. So how can I serve you, the you that you are showing up as today? You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but I think like when you're trying to stay connected to that, like it depends on if you've been already doing that the whole time or if you're trying to make up for lost time.
True.
Because sometimes folks have already grown apart and you've picked up hobbies and interests and friends and experiences that the other spouse was not a mm-hmm. part of. And now, you know, that can create resentment and bitterness in the relationship because mm-hmm. now you got these friends and these relationships mm-hmm. and these activities and hobbies that I don't know nothing about. I've never mm-hmm. we've been together since we was high school. Or we've been together since we was college. Mm-hmm. And when did you get cool in this? And when mm-hmm. did you get that? And I think, you know, even though that's a very human response, that's a very normal reaction. I think if we make it about ourselves and what we're not a part of, we'll never be a part of it.
True.
I think we have to do a better job collectively, all of us, as saying it's not about me. I genuinely want to learn about you and I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to grow and develop, even if I don't understand or if it's not my favorite thing. Like practically, you know, like I've used this example before, like I got into guns. Mm-hmm. That wasn't your deal. But if I can't talk to you about that, I'll just push you away when that topic comes up. Mm-hmm. But if you're open to me talking to you about it, then you can come into that part of my life with me. You can grow and develop with me in that area, in that hobby. Mm-hmm. I think we gotta, even if it's something's not our main thing, we need to be open to the conversation so we don't get pushed out of the conversation. And that way, you know, we have these kind of walls that go up in our relationship over time because we don't share certain parts of our lives with each other.
Yeah. I mean, that's why it's really important to try to maintain that connection over time and not to get to the point where you have, you know, drifted away so far apart where you feel like you're in bed with a stranger. And, you know, and that happens in relationships. And that's why we thought that this was an important topic to discuss, because outside of your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse should be the most intimate relationship that you have.
Preach.
But there's a lot of times where we feel disconnected. And so, you know, our focus today is how can we maintain that connection? What are some things that we could practically do to, and I want to say this, that connection isn't always automatic, right? Because life happens. And it's not that we intentionally want to be disconnected from our spouse. I think that there are so many things that happen in life, and there's so many distractions available. When you are so close to somebody, it's easy to put them on the back burner and make something else a priority.
The kids,
mm-hmm.
work, the bills, ministry.
Yeah,
it's just always something. There's always a reason to not connect with your spouse, to not do date night. And if you don't make them a priority, if you don't make your relationship a priority, mm-hmm. it won't be one.
Right.
Oh, I'll get with her later. I'll talk with him later. And I think we can easily, you know, take each other for granted.
Right.
And end up feeling like, hey, you really don't ask me about my day. Mm-hmm. You really don't talk to me about, you know, just the bare minimum stuff, mm-hmm. to where I feel like I'm an afterthought for you.
Right.
And we've all been guilty of doing that at different times, especially if we've been married for some time. Mm-hmm. When it's new and it's fresh, you know, not just like a newlywed standpoint, but you don't have as many distractions. The moment one child comes, mm-hmm. the moment the business comes, the moment the promotion comes, the moment you get elevated in ministry, now you have, you know, distractions. And a child in a business is not a distraction. But we got to remember the priority God gave us. God gave us, he said, first, I want faith, mm-hmm. and then family. And then finances. Mm-hmm. But we often put our businesses, our jobs ahead of our spouses. God said the only thing that should come before our spouse is him. And then, like, literally, the Bible says, leave your mother and your father and then come together as one. Right. Mm-hmm. That's the word of God. But what do we do? Like, oh, my family need this. So I'm going to go do this with mom, mm-hmm. or I'm going to go do this with my friends. And then once again, the spouse ends up being the afterthought. And both parties do it so much to where it's considered normal. Mm-hmm. And then we wonder why we have this great relationship with our BFFs and all our college roommates and why everything's working there. But our marriage isn't working because we're putting more time and attention into the other relationships in our life.
We're not putting the time in. We're not making the relationship our priority.
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about maintaining connection, the first thing you need to do is prioritize.
Yeah. And I think that for me personally, that takes some intentional action.
Right.
Because I'm someone who's like so focused on the goal. Mm-hmm. Give me a freaking target. I'm going to try to hit it.
Yeah.
And I think if I'm not being intentional, like about you, like you just being my baby.
Mm-hmm. Don't we try.
Hey, y'all, I'm over here winking at her and everything. But the truth is, like, I know, like I have to literally map out and schedule some of my activities throughout the week with Alicia. Like, I'm just going to keep it 100. Like, I don't do it as much as today as I've done it in the past. But there's times when I'm like, she needs some more of her hubby. She needs some more of Ryan. So let me literally schedule this week. I'm going to send her 2, you know, thoughtful texts randomly. This week, I'm going to purposely do X and Y and Z around the house without her asking me. This week, I'm going to make sure I give her distraction-free listening, and that's going to look like me putting my phone down, not watching TV, not playing with the kids, but just sitting in front of her and just gazing in her eyes and being excited about whatever she has to say, because that's how I treated her when I was dating her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's hard because it takes a lot of energy.
Right.
But why would you not want to give the person you love the most energy in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Why would we want to give energy to every other area besides the one that we say we want to be with?
Mm-hmm. Like you said before, it's very easy to take each other for granted. It's very easy to do that. You know, another way that we can maintain connection is to serve your spouse. We kind of talked about taking that intentional time, but also serving them. How can I help you today? How can I serve you today? How can I make your day easier?
You want to know how you can serve me?
How can I serve you?
Girl, you know how you can serve me. Let's just keep it 100. You know how you can serve me.
Why are you acting up today?
I'm not.
From the beginning of the episode to now.
Hey, you asked the question, so I figured I should just give you the answer. But sincerely, like when you ask me that, there are times when serving me looks like picking up dry cleaning, and there's other times mm-hmm. when it looks like I just want you to rub my shoulders because I'm stressed and I need my shoulders rubbed,
mm-hmm.
or forget rub my shoulders. I just want you to touch me. Because
mm-hmm.
how often do we get out of bed in the morning, we go about our day, and we don't even touch our spouse?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we might have that little halfway peck before we leave, but how often are you touching them? How often are they feeling your physical touch and feeling your presence and knowing your comfort?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we can't be afraid to say, you know, with our actions and with our words, I see you, I'm here for you, and whatever you need, I got you.
Right. And it's important to remember that everyone's needs are different. You know, what you may need from me may be completely different than what I need from you.
Mm-hmm.
And what you may need from me today, like you said, is mm-hmm. completely different than what you may need tomorrow. So it's important that we check in and we pay attention to that. You know, we do the one word check-ins in the beginning of each podcast. That started with us doing one word check-ins within our relationships to kind of build that connection. Sometimes we get so busy and maybe I don't have a whole, you know, 30 minutes to listen to how your day was or what happened, but I can do a one word check-in. I can say, babe, give me one word. How are you feeling right now? And that'll kind of give me some information about where you are, where your heart is at the moment. And I can stay in better connection with you.
And let me tell you what that really does, guys. Mm-hmm. A one word check-in lets you know when you should and shouldn't approach your spouse with certain things. Because what really happens in relationships, forget what really happens in our relationship, is Alicia will want me, she'll really want me to be there for her, and I'm just not emotionally ready at that moment because of something I already dealt with that day or because something I'm worried about tomorrow, because I'm human too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she'll reach out to me and I won't, you know, I won't show up in that moment the way she wants me to show up. I'll let her down. And so now she'll get resentful because she's human. And she won't, well, I won't say nothing else to you. We all do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I was trying to tell you about my day, or I was trying to ask your help about something, or I was trying to be closer and more intimate with you, and you pushed me away because you act like, whatever. And so if you say, hey, you know, one word check in, how you doing? And a person says, I'm frustrated. You're like, all right, let me leave him alone. It's not about me. Because often when we approach each other with this stuff, we want the other person to respond the way we want them to respond. And when they don't respond that way, we hold it against them for 2 days, sometimes 2 weeks. And we do it and we're just being human, but we got to understand we can't give or land so much stuff on our spouse and expect them to respond the right way all the time without giving them an opportunity to be human. So a one-word check-in is really good before you dump, before you go, you know, really jumping off the cliff here. Let's just say, hey, how was your day? You know, where you at right now? Are you okay? You know, and if they say, yeah, I'm feeling great, I'm this, I'm that, then we can expect them to be a good listener. Then we can expect them to be, you know, the person we married and we wanted. But we got to show them that grace in that moment where even though we're hurting or even though we need support, you know, we don't hold them hostage or hold them at penalty for just not being at that best in that moment.
Mm-hmm. So some of the things we've talked about so far is prioritizing our spouses. We've talked about taking the time to really get to know them, where they are in this moment, because as you know, we all evolve and we change and our needs may change. You know, it's a very impactful situation could have transpired in our lives. And, you know, maybe what I needed last week is completely different than what I need today. So really being important about, you know, taking the time to take inventory of what your spouse really needs. We also talked about serving them and being available to meet those needs. And something that we've talked about a little bit, but we haven't dived too much into is communication. That's a big piece in terms of how to maintain that connection is through communication.
And I think communication is more about listening than it is talking. I don't know anybody who really messes up the talking part, but I know everybody who messes up the listening part.
You can mess up the talking part by saying something that's, you know, not necessarily the nicest thing. So I think we can mess up both ways.
Yeah, I just think that more men mess up the listening part than the talking part, personally. Mm-hmm. I just think that, like, naturally, when you're telling me about something, my first thing is I want to fix it. True. I want to be your hero. I want to, you know, solve all your problems. I don't understand why you're complaining. I don't understand why you have all these worries. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to fix it. I'm going to get to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at me like, dude, I just wanted you to listen.
Right.
I didn't want you to fix anything. I just wanted you to listen to me. And so I think there needs to be some type of like code word or communication where you tell each other, hey, right now, I just want you to help me by just letting me vent, or mm-hmm. I want you to actually solve this. And I think it requires both parties to do that in the beginning of conversations and setting the expectation, because otherwise you're going to have one person who's trying to solve a problem, the other person who's just trying to communicate how they feel in that moment.
Yeah,
and both parties can get really frustrated because the guy's like, or I'm like, well, you said you didn't understand. I'm trying to help you. And you're like, you're not listening to me. I'm like, I am. I'm like, what did I do? So I think, so we really got to do a better job when we're talking about being communicating is like identifying, hey, what kind of conversation are we having? We could tell this person, but we want the person to know, or we want the person to do without telling them that. And I think that's an unrealistic expectation for someone to read our mind. But I know I've been in that posture before, like, well, I thought you would know already, or I thought you would, you know, understand. We have to open our mouths and communicate what's on our, you know, our head, what's really, you know, bothering us. And we can't expect or hold the person, you know, accountable for reading our mind.
True. You know, that's definitely true. We cannot expect someone to know what's going on in our heads. And I know there's been plenty of times where, you know, I want you to anticipate mm-hmm. what I'm feeling and to respond accordingly. But, you know, that's not realistic. And I can't expect for you to meet my needs in that way if I'm not telling you how I feel.
Yeah. So communication is paramount in staying connected. But I think it all can't be deep. Some of it is like, I want to be able to be playful with you. I want to be able to have fun with you. I want to be able to, you know, be, you know, kind of tease each other and just those things help the conversations become easier over time. If we're serious and we're like kind of like, you know, really heavy with some of this stuff, you know, it'll make some partners dread the conversation. I mean, imagine, you know, in your jobs before you were business owners and you had a boss and the only time they came and talked to you when it was a problem.
Right.
Only time they came to your desk, it was something heavy. And it was like it takes a lot out of you in those conversations. So you're like, ugh, what is it today? What did I do wrong? You know, and all those kind of things. So we can't always communicate when we're something's wrong. We have to learn how to communicate when things are right. We have to learn how to give compliments to our spouses. We have to learn how to just like be playful with our spouses. You know, we all look at these, you know, not just reality couples or celebrity couples, but we look at other people's relationship and often say we want that or wouldn't that be nice? And the only difference, the things that are keeping us from having those things is the actions we're willing to take in our own marriage. So if you want a playful marriage and you want to have this great communication, how about you foster it by your own actions? I think we both respond to what the other person does. So if you lead by being playful, the other person will respond by being playful. If you lead by being serious, they'll be serious. And I think we need to have some ability to, you know, not have some deep conversations that really express how we feel, but not limit our communication that way to where we can't just touch, play, feel, and love.
Yeah. And I also, when you become, when you feel like it's safe for you to communicate with your spouse, you feel like, oh, I can really express my heart to you and know that you're going to, you're going to really care about it. You know, you're not going to judge me. You're not going to do anything to hurt me, but you're really just going to take what I'm giving you and care about it and care about me. That opens up a whole nother level of intimacy. Yeah. That opens up, you know, oh, now I want to come and I want to just hang out and talk more because I feel safe around you. And so now that bond is there, you know what I mean?
Because I know what you mean.
Sometimes that gets lost. So I think the more that we're able to receive our spouses in a positive way, also showing them that grace, that's going to make them feel more comfortable and more safe to express their heart.
Yeah. That's right. Safety is huge in communication. Safety is huge in connection. You are not going to feel connected. You are not going to feel comfortable around somebody. You're worried if they'll receive you or not, if you can be, if they'll reject you or what you think or how you feel. And the last place we should worry about that is in our house.
Right.
The last place we should worry about that is with the person that we're spending the rest of our life with. We should be able to tell each other anything. And even if we're wrong and know that, you know, we won't be ridiculed for it.
Right.
I've often said like my most embarrassing moments have always been in front of Alicia or like around Alicia or she saw them. And like, I don't want to have any of those moments, but if I have one, like, I don't want to be reminded of how bad I am. I want you to say something nice about it and say, well, you know, well, babe, at least you look good today. You know, whatever the case may be, like you want to feel like you got a supporter in your corner.
Yeah. Cause to be honest, your spouse is probably one of the only people that's going to know you, your truest self.
Yeah. As well as you can know someone.
Right. You know, the real, you know what I mean? Sometimes the ugly, the dark, the imperfections, and to still to love you anyway.
In spite of.
And to not hold that against you or to hold it over your head and to still, you know, treat you with respect and honor and hold your hand during those times where it is difficult.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, when you hold my hand, girl, y'all, she don't want to play with me today. I've been trying to play with her the whole episode, and she's just like, she's just like, why is you messing with me? Girl, I am messing with you because I like you.
I see that.
You remember when you was in grade school and like your way of showing somebody you liked them was like pushing them on the swings and throwing sand on them in the sandbox? Well, I'm the only one did that. Y'all, okay, I'm not the only one that did. You're not going to look at me like I'm crazy. Well, anyway, I'm just trying to play footsie with you. That's all.
Literally. Playing with me while we're trying to record a podcast.
You better be glad I'm trying to play footsie with you. She can't deal with me today.
Another way to maintain connection with your spouse is to honor their love language. And, you know, the five love languages developed by Gary Chapman, to spend some time and to learn what your spouse's love language is and to honor them in that way. Because, you know, my love language is different than your love language. And to...
What's my love language?
Y'all want to guess what his love language is based on this episode? Physical touch.
Touch me, baby, okay. Baby, touch. What? I'm grown and married, so I can sing the song.
But, you know, take some time to understand what your spouse's love language is and honor them in that way. And so if you're not familiar with those five love languages, it's words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch.
I think our very first episode of the podcast with Carrie and Maurice Hicks, mm-hmm. Carrie talked a lot about honoring the love language mm-hmm. of your spouse. And that is kind of the way to always get that connection back going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anytime you touch me, I'm good. But the opposite is true. Anytime you're not touching me, I'm not good. Mm-hmm. And I think we all know what our spouses want. It is upon us to do everything we can to meet those needs. Now, something Alicia and I believe very strongly, that your spouse should not be responsible for maintaining your individual happiness. Mm-hmm. Alicia and I are just big proponents that you should be responsible for your own physical, emotional, mental, mm-hmm. spiritual health. Like that's too much weight to put on another person. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the analogy that we always give out about being on an airplane. And if the cabin pressure drops and the plane is going down, the airbags come, they always tell you to put your mask on, your air, you know, your oxygen on mm-hmm. first before you assist anyone else. Meaning if you're not good yourself, you can't help someone else. Mm-hmm. So I think that while it's important to know that we got to support each other, you can't take on the responsibility of only, you know, being the thing that keeps somebody happy, because mm-hmm. that's just too much. But on the opposite side, you should try to keep them happy with everything within reason. Mm-hmm. Obviously, their happiness, their joy should be found in Christ. You know, shout out to Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But sincerely, like, I don't think you know somebody's love language and you can't remember the last time you honored them in that love language. That's a problem. Like it's like, well, I know, you know, she really likes, you know, quality time. I know that's her deal. She just really wants to sit up and just watch movies for hours. But I can't remember the last time I put the blanket in the dryer and got some ice cream and just got under the blanket with some ice cream and watched a movie with her. If that's her deal and you're not doing that, are we really being the partner that we know we can be? Now, it's different when we don't have that information.
Right.
But when we have that information and we naturally choose not to do it, I think we're not being honest or serving them the way we know to serve them.
Mm-hmm. You're giving out my secret that I like to...
Oh, listen... Buy some ice cream. Get a movie. First of all, it's got to be a thriller. It's got to be a thriller.
Suspense.
Now, I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes I cheat and just turn on Lifetime and just be quiet. Just be quiet. Don't got to do nothing else. Just turn on Lifetime and act like I want to watch everything the people doing. But no, I mean, I think that's some definitely good stuff today about maintaining that connection. Now, another big part of this, because we've talked about, you know, so a lot of good stuff so far, I think, is like when you get away from the love languages, understanding that you can't do the same thing all the time. Mm-hmm. You got to show some originality. You've got to think outside the box with the same energy mm-hmm. we use to get that person. Mm-hmm. We got to, you know, try to do some different things to keep them and show them that they should be chased. Mm-hmm. Show each other that they're worth the effort. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think showing effort off is can be a turn on. I know for me, when I see you serving me or you like pursuing me in one way or another, it just, it's like, oh, girl. Like, for real. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, that makes me, oh, man, like, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And I think we respond to each other in those ways. And so when we're talking about maintaining that connection, being intentional about it, it all goes back to thinking ahead and then acting on those thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, making each other the priority. So you mentioned originality. And I think that's really important because when you've been together for so long, it's hard to be original and to keep it spicy and to keep it different. So thinking outside of the box is very important. You know, you may even have to leave your comfort zone a little bit. Like we talked, I think, several episodes ago about how we went and we did the slingshots, which was those open air vehicles. And it was like a date for us, like an adventure date. And for me, that was something that I would never even think to say, oh yeah, let's go rent a slingshot and let's go to St. Augustine. I would have never thought about that, but we had so much fun. So I think maintaining the connection does involve creativity at times because you don't want it to be stale, you know? And so you may have to do something that's different. There's so many different date night boxes and things that are out there now. So just take some time and be spontaneous, try something different because you never know what could happen.
Don't be too spontaneous where they can't pick out the right thing to wear or put their makeup on. Don't do that.
He's talking about how he planned a surprise trip for me. And it was a complete surprise. And I am somewhat of a control freak and I like to have things.
Really? Are you? I did not know that.
I like to have things a certain way. And so when I found out that we were on the way to the airport, I started to freak out a little bit. Yes, I was excited about this surprise trip, but, you know, I didn't get a chance to pack my bag. So do you have the right supplies? You have the right necessities. So know your spouse.
Yeah. I recommend you know your spouse.
But no, that trip ended up being amazing. And he recruited some help from close friends and family members to ensure that I had everything I needed. We did have to make a pit stop at the store, but we still had a good time.
I love how she put that caveat in there. We did have to make a pit stop at the store, but it worked out. All right, Alicia. So maintaining the connection requires an intentional commitment to making each other the priority. Right. We have to keep some originality, honor each other's love language, and most importantly, communicate. Mm-hmm. Don't block each other out of different areas of our life. And both people have to be willing to understand sometimes both parties are not in the best place to be the best spouse, and that requires us giving them grace. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a one-word check-in, it just, hey, where are we right now? How are we doing? How are you doing? It's helpful. And other times we can have those deeper conversations where we express our feelings, but we can't have those conversations so much to where it's too heavy for the other person without any kind of lighthearted conversations, without any regular laughing or just compliments that even it out. Too much of anything is not good. Balance is the key.
Okay, family, we hope you enjoyed this episode about maintaining the connection with your spouse. We will see you guys next Tuesday for another episode of Partnered in Purpose. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to Partnered in Purpose. Please like, subscribe, and comment. We value your feedback. Don't forget to follow us on social media @Partnered in Purpose.